This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
From Boston. Listen to me. I'm going to say to the three of you what Biscuit should have said to that stylist of his when he recommended that he take the stage at Madison Square Garden looking like a goddamn genie that's been left out of the bottle for too long. No! No more sex talk! No hookers, no handies, and definitely no blowies! Who the fuck calls it a blowy anyway? I haven't heard it called that shit since middle school. Blowy. Nobody wants to hear the three of you talk about sex. It's awkward and uncomfortable. Later.
You know, I was I was wondering, you know,
man,
if you could keep on because the force is power.
Man, I'm telling you.
Lou is
in my head. I'm on a Michael Jackson extravaganza over here. And Lou, what I want you to pull up right after this is a song called This Hotel by Michael Jackson. It's off the Immortal album, which is, I believe, the Cirque du Soleil album. It's called This Hotel, otherwise known as Heartbreak Hotel. I like where your head's at on this, and I need to hear this song before we get into anything. So if you could fire that up.
You can let them both play. Do you guys have a general idea how long total these songs will be playing? Because
no.
It's wildly, wildly inappropriate to be playing Michael Jackson anymore. Just, all right?
Could you just take a back seat? And Luke, could you just turn this up? Oh, I think Lou, I think we got the slower mix.
Oh, this is the football of the Jacksons. You need Michael solo.
No, yeah, I need Immortal Michael Jackson off the Immortal album.
Solo. When no one's looking, all alone, solo.
Why are you ignoring me? He's a monster guy.
I'm just so into the music. Okay, Lou, crank it. Oh, yeah. Listen,
10 years
listen.
Ago on this day,
I'm post a painting by Hitler on Instagram in the meantime.
When my baby broke my heart and left me yearning. Wait a minute. There's one part we're going to end it. Hold on. Right here. Oh, end it. I'm sorry. I got chills down the right side of my body, man. When he cuts the music and then pops in with the doo-doo-doo-doo and the glass, forget it. Oh, God. So that's how we're starting off the show. We'll probably cut out what you said about Michael Jackson because it's a total disrespect to the man who I grown to know and love. God, you know, I don't know what the guy was doing in his bedroom, but the music stands alone.
Thank God you waited till you were an adult before you got into show business.
But I would have been at that house on a lion, giraffe, in their amusement park. I would have been up in his room, do the hell what you want with me, just moonwalk.
Oh, man, we're losing sponsors, we're losing listeners. They're just flocking with these comments.
Oh, man. So welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Show. If you're just joining us, we've been on the air for 5.5 years. And it's two comedians, myself and Pete Corielli, sharing personal, professional news with you, along with DJ Lou and Jimmy from Boston, who starts off the show. I am in Los Angeles currently. I had left Cleveland, Ohio yesterday at approximately 7 a.m., and let me take you back to getting on the airplane and nestling into my seat. The whole plane had boarded, and then we get this announcement.
Good morning.
morning, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately.
As soon as you hear unfortunately, you might as well start packing your bag, right?
Well, as soon as you hear that mic get live, like, you know, when you just hear it click on, you fly so much, you know they're about to talk. You know bad news is coming.
Yeah, and I don't know what exactly is with all the announcements when you get on an airplane, because most of the time I'm on a phone call on the airplane, and then I have to tell the person who I'm talking to, hold on, hold on, there's an announcement. And the announcement is, please make your way to your seat. For those of you who want to stow your baggage, it's like, okay, like, who are we telling this to? Someone who's flying for the first time? I think when you get on the plane, and if this was the first time you've ever flown, you could basically figure it out. But I don't know what's up with all the instructions.
I know. I think it's their just polite way of trying to say, sit your asses down. But after you hear all those, and then all of a sudden you hear the mic come back on, that's like, oh, what you're God, saying. Yeah. I don't even want to hear, bro. I'm cringing already.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a mechanical error with the aircraft, which we are not able to fix in time for the scheduled takeoff. So you please have to deboard.
As soon as you hear deboard, you got about 19 different things rolling through your head. Now, they say deboard. I get off my ass, get out of my seat, because what happens now is people start to talk to one another. Have you seen this where all of a sudden something goes wrong and then you have to maybe get off the plane, or maybe the plane's going to be delayed? Then people start chattering to the person next to them. Like, all of a sudden that opens up like a dialogue now with your seat partner. Right now, everybody's like, whoa, could you believe it? Oh, yeah, I know. Could you believe it? It's the last time I've flown United. This, I'm out the door. I'm out the door down the jetway, because I know there's going to be a mad rush to the ticket counter to figure out where everybody's going.
Meep, meep.
Beep, bop, boop, bop, beep, bop. And I have to tell you, just to set this up, for whatever the reason, ever since the Stern, the Netflix, and what have you, I've noticed that my level of recognition when I go to the airport or what have you has increased. And I'm not telling you that for no other reason than for this story. So prior to me boarding, two United Airlines employees came up to me and told me that they were fans. And one of them even said, hey, man, when I'm really kind of struggling to get through my day, I come home and I put your videos on. I say, thanks. That means a lot. Da, 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 da. Now, nice. I come out of the plane, and one of the guys sees me go into the line to, you know, switch the flight or what have you. So he goes, come with me. So here I'm thinking, I'm in, this guy knows of another flight that's,
Who is this guy? Is he a pilot, or is he just a passenger?
And one of the guys that works as a ticket agent at the United counter, okay. Right? So I'm getting like the quote-unquote VIP service because they are fans of my comedy. At least that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, this is what happens when you make it, right? They're going to get me on a plane, da, da, da. So he's in the computer, and then he goes, I'm sorry, your last name again? And I go, oh, shit, this ain't good. This ain't good. He must not be that much of a fan.
It's a tricky spelling, and maybe he needed to... All right.
I don't know. I went negative on this. I'm like, oh, this guy don't even really know what the hell I do, does he? So I give him the Maniscalco. He types it in. God, he goes, hey, so we got a flight leaving out of Cleveland that goes to Denver with a 2-hour layover, and then you'll get into L.A. around 5:30. And I go, this is the fan treatment? Like... Like, what are the other people getting? Like, why did we go to a secret terminal where nobody else is at, and you're going to give me the same option that you're going to give the rest of the plane? I was hoping for some, like, hey, nobody knows about this, but you could hitch a ride with the United package plane that's leaving out of a hangar. We're going to have a car take you there, right?
Oh, God, can you imagine? They're like, listen, the seat's just like one of those jump seats, but it's Mike and Ron. They're really good dudes. They crank tunes the whole way.
Yeah. I'm thinking like maybe they're going to put me right behind the cockpit in one of those jump seats.
Tom Hanks and Castaway, that was your seat. That's what I thought you were getting before it crashed, right? With the sweater with the guys. Hey, I'm getting married. I'm getting engaged. Right?
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. Meanwhile, you're like, what this are we doing here, guy? Layovers? Layovers? Denver? Yeah. What the fuck?
Where's the direct, bro?
Yeah, man.
So I'm like, oh. And then he goes, hold on. I'm getting a phone call. This could be good news. Picks up the phone, and then I hear, got another plane? Okay. Yeah, smaller? Okay. So he goes, good news, they got another plane, but it's smaller. Okay. So right there, I get concerned. He goes, they don't, in first class, it's four seats short, meaning in the smaller plane, obviously, it goes from 12 to 8 in first class. Automatically, I go, I'm one of the four.
Hi, I'm thinking you might still get two of them. One for you and one for your bag. I mean, just from last week's shows alone. I mean, shit.
I am a big, bright, shining star.
Now you did a quick scan and search. They ain't sniffing any other celebrity in those 12 that were on the first plane, right?
I did a scan. I always do a scan to see who's in first.
Right.
Listen, I don't know who's on the plane, but I don't recognize anybody. But that doesn't mean anything because I typically don't recognize anybody.
I mean, Roman Polanski could be right next to me on a European flight. I'd have no idea until he touched my kid.
I mean, if that almost slipped by me. Oh, Lou, that's nice. What a nice montage. So I go, could you see if I'm one of the four? And he types it up. He goes, yes, the manifest has transferred over to the smaller plane. And yes, sir, you are one of the four that doesn't have a first class seat that will be bumped to coach.
Oh, my God. So, I'm sorry to interrupt, but wasn't there a part of you like, guy, just get me the flight attendants that were fawning over me 20 minutes ago. Where are they? Who are you? What? I got like four people that are fans, and then they give me to you. Did you just move here from Denmark? What the fuck? This is one of the guys
that came up to me before I got on.
What? Then this is like bizarre. It's like he's like forgetting everything that you guys discussed earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I've totally lost my VIP treatment. The only thing I'm getting VIP from this guy is that he took me to a terminal that nobody else is at, right?
Yeah.
So he tells me I don't have a first class seat. I said, and then I look at him, I go, but, you know, you could like put me in there now, right? He goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm restricted to move anybody's seat. You're going to have to go to the new gate and see what you could do there. See what I could do. Please.
Oh, I told you about United. First of all, you probably don't fly them often, right? So do you have a lot of miles with them?
I do not fly them often. However, the United was the only airline, I believe, that offers a direct flight out of Cleveland to L.A. at 7 o'clock in the morning and then again at 7 o'clock at night. The others are all connections, so that's why I'm on United.
Right. So what I'm wondering is if some guy has like 500,000 miles on, and then, you know, a celebrity has very little miles, you know, does United give the guy the one seat with all the miles, or does he give it to the celebrity? I like where your head's at,
and I asked the guy, how do you determine who goes in the back? And his answer was, I do not know how that's determined, but they should have more information for you at the departing gate. So here I am thinking that I was going to get some type of preferential treatment, and now the way it looks, I'm going to be in 32A near the bathroom. All right. Now I go to the gate and I got people coming up to me. Hey, saw your show, this and that. I mean, like, it's I'm sitting there. with my jacket over my, like, I had a big North Face jacket on and I was sweating, so I had to take that off. So it's kind of like over my backpack sitting on the ground. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm 3 minutes away from laying on the floor. Right. So, shit. Hey man, good show. This and that. So I hear, do you ever get your name called over the intercom and now you got to go up? Right?
Yeah, I was telling you a few weeks ago my United one, but yeah, okay. And now, but with you, all right, they hear that. They're so, like, is he about to do a show?
So I'm like, oh, they're probably presenting him with the gold certificate for flying a million miles on United, because this guy, you know, flies a lot, right?
Sebastian Maniscalco, please come to the podium.
Oh, here I go. Now, I could hear the murmuring in the crowd, right? I go up. He goes, unfortunately, here we go with the unfortunately again. Unfortunately, you're one of the four people that have been bumped to coach. We have a nice area roped off. I go, okay. Roped off. What did you do? Just rip out some seats all of a sudden and rope off a special section for the people? Come on.
Oh my God. You're telling me that they're going to seat you and coach but put a velvet rope around your fucking seat? Is that what I'm hearing? This is the most bizarre shit I've ever heard in my life. Why don't you just put a flashing fucking light on me and I'll do the jokes every 10 minutes too? Holy shit.
So he's telling me that they got some special section, like it's a restaurant, and they opened up like the private dining area for the four people that are getting bumped off. Well,
why,
right?
Why wasn't I in that then in the first place? If you, it sounds like it's bigger than first class.
Oh my God. Then he pulls this one. We have a nice section roped off for the four people that we're bumping, and we're offering, of course, $1,000 voucher. So I come back with, and this is where I want to get where your head's at. I go, that's very nice of you, but you could keep your voucher and make an announcement to the rest of first class, that offer, and I'll take my chances. So I step off to the side.
I like the move. All you need is, this is great.
So, because I'm thinking the four people that they're going to call up, I'm one of them. So he's going to call up three other people and present that offer. I'm thinking.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give our crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
50% would take that offer. Two would decline it, and two would maybe take it. Because that's a lot of money, $1,000, they figure. But then I'm also thinking these people are on business trips. Maybe they don't give a shit about the thing.
All right, you mean you got eight people in first class that he's going to say to them, if you're willing to sit and coach,
four people, including me. So it went from 12 to 8. So four are being bumped.
Oh, and so I'm one of the four. Oh, gotcha. Oh, man, dude. Of course someone's going to take that, right? It's a grand.
So you figure out of 12 people, now 11, because I just declined it, out of 11 people, four would take that. So I'm sitting off to the side, and right away I see this guy gathering his bags, running up to the window like they're going to give it away before he gets there. He goes, I'll take that deal. So he takes the deal, he peels off, and his buddy's there. He's like, oh, you took the deal? He goes, yeah. He goes, I got bumped up from coach to first class on that flight that they just canceled. So this guy was never even in first class to even start the morning. He got bumped into it. Now he's getting a grand to go back to basically his original seat.
That, right? Well, that's, I didn't want to interrupt you, but that's what I was going to say. It only takes one slug that got bumped up anyway, who's like, mm-hmm. but usually though, when they bump someone up, if there's someone who paid, they wouldn't give him the seat first. He must have slipped through.
Well, he was, because he did not pay. So this is when I start to kind of really map out what's going on. He goes, okay, I'm grouped in with the guy that didn't pay for first class. He got bumped in. So I go, either I have the most elite flyers ahead of me on the 8 seats, meaning that these guys must be 1K platinum close to the United Airlines CEO.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, because I'm figuring, because I paid for my ticket. You know, I paid the full price. Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys. So then I go to the guy behind the counter. I go, how do you determine who goes in the back and who stays? He goes, well, it's, he goes, what's your seat number? I said, 3B. He goes, well, we have a 3B. He goes, I don't know. So nobody knows how this works, but I feel like there's a secret that I got to find out how it works. I feel like they knew, but they weren't letting me know. So now I'm sitting and I'm sweating. I'm sweating because I'm afraid they're going to give me a middle or window seat and coach, which if they did, I'd have to literally fly out on the wing because I'm claustrophobic and I couldn't take that. I couldn't take it.
I know. I had one this week. It was horrible.
So I'm watching people come up and I can't really hear what they're saying. I don't know if they're complaining about something else. And then I get the name, Sebastian Maniscalco, please come up. Now I'm either thinking, A, they're going to tell me this is my new seat, or B, here's your new seat in first class. Bam! 2F. I'm in first class. It paid off. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's a window. Okay? Now, generally in first class, I sometimes don't have a problem with the window because it is a little bit of a larger seat, but now I start to sweat about the window seat. I start getting in my head. So I get to 2F, and as I'm getting into the window, the guy behind me is getting into the aisle right next to me. I never do this, but I'm like, I'm going to throw it at him. I go, hey, bro, you wouldn't want to switch, would you, by the window? He goes, are you kidding me? Now, I thought he was going to say, are you kidding me? Sit down.
Yeah.
But he goes, I'd love to. I go, oh, he goes, God, this is my lucky day. And I'm going to myself, in my head, I go, why is this guy? He goes, oh, man, what a relief. And I sit next to him and I go, thanks for doing that. I go, I can't sit next to the window. I get claustrophobic. He goes, I get claustrophobic in the aisle. I go, what?
That's what?
He goes, I need to see out. If I'm away from the window, I feel like I'm trapped. I need to see out the plane. I go, man, I never heard of that. Have you?
No, that's an interesting thought pattern, but it's like, that's the thing. You look out, but you can't get out there. So that's why I freak out. Then I turn. That's bizarre. Oh, look, it's so, for me, it just comes down to this. I do not like to have to ask other adults when I got to take a leak. I hate that shit.
I know, man. I mean, and I go to the bathroom, I'd say, 5-hour flight once an hour because I'm heavy with the water. Well, so I'd be flying over this guy every time. So this guy saved the day. He goes, I gotta buy you a drink. And I'm like, nah, that's it. Buy me a drink. We're in first class, get the shit for free anyway. What do you mean buy me a drink? I go, no, don't worry about it, man. I said, get some sleep. And that was the end of that. So that was my flight home. Now I am home.
I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are
gonna be friends.
Friends. Right. Sebastian, look, great interview. Howard just, he loved you. Everything was just really, really good.
The guy's a legend. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. You know what? I was thinking, you know, we got the wrap-up show coming up in 45 minutes, maybe an hour. If you want to stop by, you know, talk, it's me and John Hine. And, you know, we just have fun. We talk about the show.
Oh, you know what? You're going to call my agent, Judy, for that? And they'll take care of you over there.
Great. Hey, Sebastian, thanks so much for doing the show.
Hey, guys.
You know what? It kind of reminds me of back in 1989, I was with Richard Pryor.
You know what? I think my wife, my kids, somebody's waiting. No.
Nice, dude. Baba Booey. Funny stuff. That was New York City comedians Eric Miller and Julian Kaplan. Check them out on Twitter at PNS_edit. Later.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Baba Booey, what was your ordeal with the flights this week?
Weather-wise, you know, same thing. This was my move. I was coming home from Texas. I had three. So I had to fly from Texas to Denver and Denver to Newark. So anyway, I get on my flight in Denver, and it has to take off and land exactly on time for me to catch my connector in Newark. We ice up. We do the de-ice. We come out. I'm like, all right, I still might make it if we take off now. And we're just about to take off out of Denver, and the pilot comes on and says, we need a little more de-icing, so we got to go back. So first of all, now we got to go back. We got to wait online to de-ice. Now, while this is happening, I call United, and they say, we'll call you back in 10 minutes. I go, fine. I knew I had plenty of time. They call me back in 10 minutes. I tell the lady, I'm on a flight. I'm going to miss my flight when I get to Newark. Is there another flight? And she's like, there's another one that goes out 2 hours later. I go, can you put me on that? And I go, but if this one, when we land, if that 2 o'clock is running late, I'd still like to get on it. She's like, all right, I got you on the next flight out, but if that one's running late, you can get on. I go, beautiful. And we finish up everything as our wheels go up, and we're just about to take off. And the guy sitting next to me goes, wow, did you just set up your whole connecting flight ahead of time? And I go, yeah. And he's like, God, I don't know why I don't do that. I got to run off of here now and do it. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's the way to go. And then, like, a little later on in the flight, he's like, yeah, I can't. That's just smart, man. That's smart. I'm like, yeah, well. Google when we landed, because I got so mad. Because when we landed in Newark, even though I had made my arrangements, they came on and said, oh, sorry, we're an hour late. What are you going to do, unfortunately, with the weather? And I'm like, this is bullshit. Because when we were taking off, we were only about 20 minutes late. And then it ended up being a full hour because we didn't. So I Googled the icing, and I couldn't find anything. So I texted my friend who's a pilot. And I said, when you get a plane iced, when you're done, I go, I see the flaps moving. Is that the pilot checking everything? And he said, yes. I go, then should the pilot know if they got enough de-ice? And he said, yes. So then when we were getting off the plane, I said to the flight attendant, it's the pilot's job to know if they were de-iced or not. So technically, it's the pilot's fault that we're 40 minutes late, not the snow. And she goes, well, it's bad weather, sir. And then I turned to the guy next to me. I go, I got a buddy who took off from Denver to JFK, and he's already landed. I got no buddy who did that, bro. I just made that up. I just said it loud.
That's now, fantastic.
I got a tip question I got to ask you, man. Yeah. So when I finally landed back in Buffalo last night, I'd been gone for 5 days, and I park at the parking spot, and I get the shuttle. The guy picks me up, and it's so quick. You just go right around the bend. I'm the only one in it. I got a small bag. He doesn't have to carry it or anything. Now, when we pull up to where my car is, as I'm about to get out, I give him $2. I'm sorry, $3, but still, I know that's not a lot, but is that weak? Should it be a solid $5?
I have a story that's kind of similar to this that happened to me about 10 years ago.
The windshield one.
Where they put it, they gave it back to me? Remember?
Bro, it was one of my favorite episodes, stories on the show.
All right.
You know what? All-star parking, fuck you and your shuttle drivers. You could shove the dollar up your ass. I ain't coming back.
That's L.A., guy. Keep in mind, parking for a day in the parking spot with your coupon is $6 a day. I'm already tipping half the price to park there for the day.
Yeah, I listen.
That's not even the question, by the way.
Listen, I think you're done with tipping what I call loose change.
All right. All right. I respect that.
Like, I think the minimum tip should be $5. I don't care what you're doing.
If
you're
going to
take the trouble, if you're going to, because look, it's $2. If you threw in $2 extra in the end of the day, is it going to kill you? Is it going to kill you?
It feels like it is. I mean, even when I add it up in my head, I'm like, if I'm at this thing 30 times in a year, that's $60 extra if I give him $2 more every time. But I just in that moment, it just seems like an awful lot for a 500-yard ride around the loop. You know, it's not my fault the guy didn't have a pension or a 401k back in the day,
But I get it. I get it, though.
I'm embarrassed. I'm trying to defend myself, but you're absolutely right, bro. Absolutely right.
So. Yeah, I just think after 40, we're done with singles, right?
I thought you were saying I've accomplished stuff in my life and you were complimenting me, but you're just saying a straight up age thing.
Like you could be
unemployed and you still expected to tip a five spot.
No. I'm just saying, like, based on what you've done,
backtrack now.
No, I'm just saying, listen. If you're going to take the trouble to get the money out, and if you tipped $1, I'd say, okay, extra $4. Yeah, that seems like a lot, but you're almost there with the $3, right?
You're
closer to $5 than you are, you know, just go with it, bro.
I know, but there's two types of people. One that tip big, and when the guy goes, thanks, they go, yeah, you're welcome, makes them feel good. And then there's the other one, which I'm not saying I am, but you tip and they go, thanks. And you go, oh shit, was that too much? They were awfully excited for that. I'm only kidding. But here's the happy ending. This is what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
So this guy technically was an old guy or nothing. He seemed like he was like in his 50s, right? So I give him the $3 and then I go to hop off the shuttle thing. And granted, you know, it's Buffalo and stuff and it's been snowing, but it wasn't snowing that night. But I guess it snowed a few days earlier. So I hear him go, it's a dig job, into his walkie-talkie. And then I see my car at the same time, and it needs to be shoveled out. Not crazy, but about a solid 5 minute shovel and wipe the car off. So I go to open up my door. I got like a little scrape thing, you know, and then he comes out with a shovel. So I go, oh, no, man, I'll take the shovel. And he goes, no, it's our job. But he did a lot of shoveling, you know, like 4 minutes solid shoveling. And while we're shoveling, I'm like, all right, well, $3 obviously isn't enough now, right? So now I have in my wallet, what you call non-loose change, 10s and 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm thinking, again, bro, 3.5-4 minutes of shoveling, light shoveling, me doing most of the work. I'm like, a $10 tip is a fair tip. A $13 tip is a little pricey. But I'm thinking in my head, can I ask him for the $3 back and then give him the $10? Eat the $3? I'll tell you, I'm like, I ate the $3 and just gave him the $10, but it made me giggle to ask if you could go, give me back the $3, but trust me, you're going to be happy when you put your other hand out, big guy.
No, because you know what he's going to think in his head? He's going to go, oh, my God, I could have had 13.
You probably think, oh, no, was he going to give me a 5 now? Taking the 3 back to give me a 5?
Well, here's my theory and how it really is a through line to this story. If you would have tipped him a 5 to begin with, you wouldn't have to tip him for the shovel.
I don't know. Because I'm saying the 5 is for the ride. Now there's more than a job I didn't see. I'd have been up to 15. Guy practically would have paid for his fucking kid's college. Jesus.
No, I'm telling you, bro, if you would have did the 5,
he would have gone, oh, this guy gave me a fiver. Let me shovel his stuff out because he gave me extra than what I normally would have get. That's the way he would have felt. Believe me, you actually did not. He did not do yourself a service by giving him the three. You actually spent more money than you should have, man.
Well, I
would have saved you $8.
No, I don't think so, because, listen, they have to shovel you out because it's their plow that put you in there. So that's part of the job. And then he would have got out and gone, well, you give me five for what you didn't, what you thought the job was over. Now look at what I'm doing now. You have to give me more. I think he would have expected more. I think it would have been up to 15.
Okay, when he took the 10 from you, was it like, no, come on, we, you know.
Or no, that's the thing, too. It was so damn cold out, he just put it in his pocket. He probably just thought it was a dollar, considering the fucking history of our tipping back and forth, me and him. So, yeah, I never even got my satisfaction, but at least I wasn't embarrassed driving out of there. But with that, here's another question along the lines of tipping. If you are going to tip, let's say, a certain amount, like a... Let's say you want to tip $5, but you only have 10. Can you ask to the guy you're tipping, you got a five? I want to give you a 10. Or do you always just have to give what you have? He's not a goddamn cash register.
Well, I did this today. I asked for change when I was paying out at a parking lot that charges you for parking. And the valet doesn't park your car. He's just a guy with an umbrella. You ever see this guy where you just go up to him and you pay him, but he doesn't take your keys or anything like that? He's just like the guy?
Yeah.
So the thing was, I don't know, $20. I had 20. The parking was $2. So I'm not going to give him $18 tip.
No.
So I said, just give me 15 back. Which I did tip $3, which is quote unquote loose change, but it's different if you disguise it as change.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I understand, like, what you're saying.
Like, the $3 was never taken out of my pocket. It was just like, keep the $3 because nobody ever is going to see the $3.
Right.
But he didn't do anything, but he was almost like a cash register. My deal is, I've been in situations where I didn't break the 20 or the 100 or whatever it is into denominations that is tippable, like fives, tens, what have you, right?
Right.
And this just happened to me when I was leaving Cleveland. The guy that put my bags in the car, I normally give him a 10 spot, right, as I'm leaving. I had a 20. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? It's 20 below. I'm going to ask him for change. So I give him a 20, which, for putting my bag in a car, a 20 is a good tip. The guy probably, out of all the guys this guy takes care of, I'd say two people might tip him a 20 during the day, if that. I worked in a hotel. I know the game.
Yeah, although so only one person sold out four garden shows. So, and maybe even 30 would have been all right, guy. Hey, you know, Robin Hood, I get it, you know?
Oh, shit.
No, so, but...
I give him the 20.
I'm sorry, I'm having a good time tonight. So you give him the 20, yeah?
I give him the 20, and he runs back in the hotel like, you know, like it's a recess, and they rang the bell, and the kids are running back into school. I thought, man, I would at least thought he would open the door of the car for me, right? You ever give a tip and they don't go the extra mile after they get the tip? Like, they think that's the end of the transaction?
Did he see the 20 or did he just take what you gave him?
Oh, no, he saw the 20. What I did is I fanned it. I didn't do one of these roll-up jobs. I did like a 20 where the bill is flat, where he has to take it with his index finger and his thumb, one of those. Oh. Wherever there's a 20 on the bill, he could see it. There's 20 in the all four corners. So he's seeing four 20s he gets this thing.
And he doesn't even get the door.
And he got the door. And at that moment, I was like, it's fucking... So there's moments like that where I feel like I overtip and I don't get the follow through.
But and that's my fault because I just didn't crack down the money to have it. But
you ever get the you tip good and the waitress gives you the extra goodbye when you're at the door? Take care again. Have a nice night. And I look at Jackie. I go, that's for the good tip. We get the double goodbye. You get the goodbye again at the door.
Goodbye.
You get the goodbye when you're done with your bill, and then when you're at the door, you get it again. That's their way of saying, I just want you to know that I noticed you tip more than a normal person does.
It's funny you say that. I get actually upset when I don't get the double goodbye. When you leave a good tip and you just walk out and you don't see the guy again. I know when I got a good tip as a waiter, I went back to the table and I put my hand on the table and it all 5 points of my fingers landed on the table. You ever do that? Where the waiter comes back and almost palms the table like a basketball. And I go, thanks a lot. And then I walk away.
Love it, man.
Try a palm job.
What do? You lean in with your palms down as if you're going, here's the plan.
One palm.
Oh, so you're making it abundantly clear that I'm thanking you for the tip. There's no subtlety. Just palm down, boom, thank you.
Palm down, but you can't put the palm on the table. You have to have the palm, your actual palm, off the table and the five tips of your finger. It's almost like a tent. You make like a tent with your hand, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm doing
and
it.
Then it. And then you look at the person that tipped and go, thanks a lot. And then you just slide your hand off the table. And literally a hand on the table like that stops all conversation. Because I could be saying, hey, thank you. Or, hey, the place is on fire. Get the hell out of here. I mean, it literally halts what's going on at the table. So, yeah, I actually get pissed off when I don't get the acknowledgement out the door.
I'm doing that now, but I just instinctually, after I do the tent and I look and I'm saying my pretend thank you, I want to point at them as I pull away. Do you do
that? Oh, point? I like that. I like that.
I can't not. I'm feeling that. Tent down, thank you, point, pull away. Wow. That makes people want to just acknowledge that it was a nice tip in your own way. Make it a signature move. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I like when we get involved in these shows where these are real life situations that people might find themselves in, and we kind of clarify how to deal with that.
How much do I owe you?
That'll be $11.80, sir.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Cheapskate.
Well, here we are again. Just two average people strolling through the park.
Been on the road, haven't had much time here with my family, and today we did a little daddy-daughter morning. Lana went to go and do some Pilates, and Serafina and I went to get some air in the stroller tires. I got one of these strollers that you could like take up a mountain. It's kind of like big and it needs air, so I went to the gas station. I pumped those up. Got myself a little shake, and then we went to the park. Serafina has discovered swings and slides and can't stay away from the park. Now, this is the first time I've taken Serafina to the park alone. And I got to tell you, I'm going to have problems because my daughter is so nice and sweet to people, like other kids.
That's good.
And yeah, I mean, she goes up to them, she smiles. And my daughter had like a ball. She was giving the ball to the girl, and the girl goes, it's not mine. And I was like, oh no. Here we go. I almost went up to the girl and said, she's offering you a ball. It's called sharing.
Bro, that shit is gonna start to drive you nuts. I'm telling you, there's nothing. You know, obviously on the small scale level, I'm talking here, but there's nothing more upsetting than watching another kid be mean to your kid. Oh, God. Oh, man.
And the look on Serafina's face was kind of like she didn't understand it. You know, like she went from a smile to kind of almost like dumbfounded. Like, why wouldn't somebody want to take my ball? And and just the look of kind of dejection on my daughter's face. I'm like, and then I look at the mother, and you know, the mother don't even like acknowledge what happens. You know, I'm doing a stare down on the mother.
Yeah.
like is this the way it's gonna be? No sorry on that, or like there's no like open disciplinary action that you're gonna take on your child shutting down a share.
Dude, that is so small potatoes. I mean, a kid could piss on your kid and the parents could be right there and not even care. Just little 4-year-old boy penis out peeing right on your kid's head, and they're just chatting it up on the bench over there in the corner.
So you get
ready, man. Oh man, it's hard to see. It's hard to see. You want to just fucking lean over the kids.
You do, and I'm like in it when I'm at the park with Seraphine. I'm not on the phone. I'm not doing anything. My whole objective while I'm there with Seraphina is to make her have fun. So she's swinging on the swing, right? It's one of those bucket swings.
Yeah.
And she's having a ball. She's laughing. So what daddy does is I go, you want me to swing too? And she's like, yes, yes. So I grab the top of the swing set and I start to swing like a gymnast would on like one of those uneven bars, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm swinging my whole body back and forth with her simultaneously with the swing. And then I start getting some momentum, and then I release myself and land, and she's dying laughing. And bro, I gotta tell you, two of the other kids that were at the park were seeing how much fun we were having, and the look on their face was, man, I got the wrong parents. I wish my dad was doing that. I gotta tell you, I'm really happy when I go to the park and I see a lot of mothers there and they don't, you know, they're with the daughter and like the guy's not there. Now, they could be thinking two things. I'd like to be thinking, they like, man, I wish my husband did this, or, oh, he's half of a gay couple.
<That's> too... Oh man! Maybe he's in between doing hair and makeup for TV projects.
Oh man! But I gotta tell you, man, it's nothing like making your daughter laugh. I mean, it beats making 20,000 people laugh at Madison Square Garden. If I get my daughter going, especially when it becomes vocal, there's one thing when she just smiles, but another thing when she goes, oh, forget it, man. That makes my day.
I know. It's awesome, man. And as she gets older and older and starts talking more, then when she starts to make you laugh with words, like, oh, God. It's all awesome, dude. Does she have play dates, by the way, ever, like with other kids, or is it mostly, she's only two now, so it's mostly just been, you know, at home or parks, right?
Yeah, she went over to, we have a couple that we hang out with that's about a mile away. They have three kids, so two nights ago she went over there and hung out at their house. So, yeah, I mean, she's slowly but surely, you know, hanging out with other kids.
Yeah, it is. It's wild when you start playing, when they start playing with other kids, and then you can't help it because there are other kids that you really like, you know. And it's just hard to be like, if I was a teacher, I could never be a teacher because if I didn't like a kid, I'd go, "Good morning, class," and I'd look over to one and go, "Except you, dick." I mean, I wouldn't, but he would sense I'm feeling that, you know. I just wouldn't be able to treat the one I didn't like as much.
I know. I hear you, man. I would shut out kids. Like, I'd be the type of teacher where, oh, you didn't say hi or good morning? You ain't getting help on the assignment then. You know, when he came up to ask a question, I'd tell him the wrong answer.
Yeah. I wouldn't let him use the bathroom, like, as easy as I would another kid. I'd be like, didn't you go before school? You didn't go? All right, go ahead. Another kid wants to come up. Like, yeah, go ahead, take the pass. I just... But, you know, this leads me to something interesting, man. It's amazing, though, what as kids, what we don't realize anyway, because I'm in my hotel room the other night. and I put on Star Wars, the original. Lou, I don't know if maybe, Lou, you could do a Google that shit on a scene with Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, but I just want to say, bro, I can't believe I didn't notice this when I was a kid. The inferior acting of Luke Skywalker compared to Han Solo. It's mind-blowing.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. 10,000, all in advance.
10,000? We can almost buy our own ship for that.
But who's gonna fly it, kid? You?
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself. I don't have to sit here and listen.
It was blowing my mind. It was like, I'm like, this. Every time Luke Skywalker talked, I'm like, what are we, in Days of Our Lives? You suck! And then Han Solo just blows a Harrison Ford, comes out with a line, and you're like, oh, this is a movie star in the making. I did not see this.
You know what? I got to go back and rewatch it because as a kid when I was watching it, I wanted to be Luke Skywalker.
Oh, man. I figured for sure you'd want to be Billy Dee Williams' character.
Oh, well, I mean, that goes without saying.
What was his name again in that thing?
Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian. That guy was cool, man. He was like my first, at 7 years old, introduction into the coolness of a Hispanic.
Hispanic? He was black.
Oh, wow. What an actor. I thought he was playing a Spanish guy. Oh, wait, Billy Dee Williams. Yeah, Billy Dee Williams is black, man. But wasn't Lando Calrissian Spanish?
I got to tell you, now that you mention it, he did have like a Spanish vibe coming off.
Oh, he had the goddamn pencil mustache that they love over there in the, I don't know where. Oh man. Luke, are we going to Google on Calrissian's nationality in the movie?
Because it's funny, the latest Star Wars, the actor who plays, it's actually, what is it, Glover? What's his name?
Glover. Donald Glover.
Glover. He plays Calrissian. And he definitely has a black vibe. It's no Spanish coming off of him, but you're right. A Billy Dee in Star Wars comes looking like a Billy Dee Gomez.
I know. Didn't he do Colt 45 commercials when we were kids?
He did. Oh, yeah. He did. Oh, yeah.
Man, he almost got me to drink those, man. What? That's how good those commercials were.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, he was from a fictional city, so there's no Spanish and there's no black. He's from Cloud City.
Oh, Lou, way to do the work, Lou. You're awesome. You didn't even blow us off on nothing.
I know.
Cloud City?
Yeah. Cloud City.
Mm. Sounds like.
I don't know. That's an edit.
What?
You were going to go down an edit. I know it. Lou, did you feel an edit coming there?
Yeah.
On what? On that whole bit?
No, you said Cloud City sounds like a, and I'll go, here we go.
No, I didn't. I was just going to do a bad joke.
I don't claim you can have a better time with Colt 45 than without it. But why take chances?
The power of Colt 45.
Dude, this listener of the show, nice guy, does stand up as well. His name is Kev Lee. He sent me this thing, Mob Boss ASMR. Sebastian, are you familiar what ASMR is, what it stands for? I have no idea.
No.
Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Now, Lou, you see the clip? You got it?
Yeah, I got the clip.
It's this Italian guy just talking on a screen, and it's got like 93,000 downloads. Just play a little, Lou.
Jewish. You gotta have. I'm telling you. Why I order. You come down here.
Okay. And that's it. And he'll go like, yeah. So then the girl comes over, and I say, and I'm whispering. And why am I whispering? Because I got to whisper. I'm in this little room. That's what this guy's saying, that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. So I go back to this guy, Kevin. I go, why'd you send this? Why does 93,000 people listening to this? I don't even get it. And he goes, it's ASMR, man. auto-sensory memory. And basically, people download that because they like to listen to it and relax. And he goes, check them all out. Go to YouTube. And Lou, you could, you if you YouTube ASMR.
Yes.
Like, they got the thing there. Like, they got people scratching foam, or they take a piece of plastic and they just, like, crunch it up. Yeah. And people like to lay down and listen to that to relax. It's got more downloads than some of my best bits. Oh, fucking just jiggling a bag. I mean, I've been writing for 22 years, and I do have to admit, they had one. They were like lightly popping the little bubbles on a package bag, and I'm like, oh, that does sound. That feels nice.
Oh wow! So, what gets that? That's unbelievable.
I know. It's almost the exact opposite of a Jimmy from Boston message.
Fridge fucker.
Between Tom Brady and Jimmy from Boston. Are you rooting for him this Sunday?
I'm going for Brady, bro.
I am too, man. He's apple pie. You know, for all the people that don't like Tom Brady, you're going to miss him when he's gone.
Oh, yeah. No, Tom Brady to me is personifies football and just a winner. I mean, I was looking... They have been, I believe, and Lou could definitely Google this, in the last 20 years, I think they've been in the Super Bowl 11 times.
You are correct, sir. Yes!
11 times? It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. I'm walking through the Walmart with Jackie today going, Jack, if you're a pro football player and you last 5 years, that's incredible. 5 years is incredible. If you go to one Super Bowl, that's insane. And she goes, all right, you're going to tell me the Tom Brady thing again. By the way, can we get an applause for what? Defensive AFC NFL player of the year again.
Just an amazing bounce back from a couple of injuries, and the guy's back on his game, which brings me to a question here. How long do we see Watt playing in the NFL, number one? And number two, how long after he retires does he become a part of the Oval Office?
I think you should do the Oval Office sooner than later. We need some youth. There's a progressive move going on right now. A lot of the young people like younger people. I also want to, by the way, before I forget, I got my first Christmas gift from Watt and Kay. They sent me this lovely, I told you, it's going to be a food product from somewhere different all the time.
Yeah.
Coconut cream pie, which happens to be my favorite pie. From Betty's Famous Pie Shop in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shipped directly to the house. Big, beautiful pie. Having my first slice tonight. Next month, I get my next thing. AFC Defensive NFL Player of the Year sending Corey Ellie a coconut cream pie.
Oh.
Boom. And I'm tipping $3, guy. I'm out there tipping $3 at a time.
Oh man.
So thank you to Watt and the lovely Kay. I'm loving the pie, and I am too, bro, rooting for Tom Brady just like you. Geoff Goff, what is it? Is this guy Russian? I know nothing about this guy. Is he German? What is Geoff Goff?
I don't know what he is, but being from L.A., they should be getting behind my team here. But, I mean, I'm just a Chicago Bears fan. I just can't adopt the team just yet. I'm sorry.
Well, who's asking to adopt the team? We're just all rooting for Tom Brady and Tom Brady.
Yeah, but then shouldn't I be, like, rooting for the L.A. Rams or no?
Oh, my gosh. Is that where they're from? I didn't even know they were L.A.
Oh,
I am
Jesus.
So out of the loop with this.
Wow,
dude.
Wow.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Oh, God. Getting
They're moving to Vegas, though, right?
No, it's the Raiders.
Oh, all right. Sorry. That's an edit.
Yeah, I think Watt, defense, two injuries. I think he's got a good 4 years. I'd cut it at four. Just because of the violence of the game and, you know, the head injuries and all that. So he'd be about 33 years old. And I see some philanthropy.
And then I see 40 years old, a bid for the office.
I think that's a perfect time. I mean, to have some youth in there, but old wise youth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, old wise youth. And then I see us moving into the West Wing shortly after.
I think what we would thrive at is anytime he's having world leaders, important people from all over the world for social functions at the White House, he just calls us guys, I need you guys to come hang and just smooze and just be a part of this and lighten it up.
Yeah, I'd take down that position. I mean, to live in the White House, just out of curiosity, how big, square footage-wise, would you say the White House is?
I don't know, man. I would have the 40,000 of 100,000 square feet. I don't know. And there's a secret things in the basement and shit.
55,000 square feet.
Wow.
Who lives there? I mean, like, yeah, the president, his wife, his kid. But after that, who's in the house? Do we know? Lou, can you do a Google that shit and find out who is living in all this space?
How many people live in the White House permanently or 24/7? That's good to know.
Well, you're
the chef,
doing that.
The chef must live there, right?
Well, I mean, you got to fit some staff. But, I mean, like Obama had his mother-in-law in there. Does Trump have, like, you know, I don't know, a couple buddies that are taking up a room? If you're Trump's buddy, can you stay in the White House as a guest for like a month and a half? Like, hey, man, I need a place to crash. You mind? And can a guy just sleep there and kind of come and go as he pleases?
Yeah, like as literally like parking spot and keys.
Yeah, you know, does he get that? Like, here, use the back door and park underneath? I mean, how does that work?
The only people that live in the White House full time is the first family. There are other rooms within the White House, however, for visiting foreign heads of government or heads of state that the president and his advisors think it'd be best for them to spend the night. So yeah, it's up to the president. He could have a friend. He could have a dignitary. He can have whatever he wants.
Can we get a Google on some of the most famous people that have spent the night at the White House? Like did Paul McCartney spend the night in a room that like Putin spent the night in? And don't kid yourself, Putin spent the night, okay?
Well, listen, probably, but what I want to know is when you stay there, what's the service like? I mean, is there a Yelp page for the White House going, I stayed at the White House, but the maid didn't even make my bed? I mean, like, is the service presidential?
I would have to think everything from getting a tuna fish sandwich to my bed made, I will argue, like, every time it should be an argument, like, I should turn and go, Jackie, I think this might be the most delicious tuna fish sandwich I've ever had. Jack, I don't think anyone's ever made our bed this well. Jack, I don't think I've ever been in a bathroom this clean, right? Like, it should all be the best ever.
I'm in
the White House.
I would think the service would be unbelievable. Like, if a world leader checks in, you would think he'd be introduced to Frank, the butler, who will take care of all of his needs. I mean, no? Or do you just think they put you in a room and that's that?
No, I agree with you. And not no sandals where Frank's also taking care of the needs of 55 other families. Frank's outside my door, all right? No, I'm there with you,
I give you another one. If you're staying at the White House and let's say at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, maybe you want a sandwich or maybe you want to just go and watch some TV in the living room. Can you wander the White House? I don't know. In the middle of the night, go to the refrigerator and get yourself a glass of milk?
What a question. I mean, literally, could you go into the Oval Office and all of a sudden Trump's flicking the lights on with a robe on going, I thought I heard someone in here. What are you doing? And you're just like, couldn't sleep. I hear you. Want a milk? Or do you step out the door And right away, there's a Secret Service putting two fingers into his ear and whispering, he's in the fucking hall.
I would like to think if you stepped out your door, literally a little red dot might go on your chest from a sniper outside, right?
Absolutely, man. There's no roaming in the White House. Or have you been so cleared to get to the point where you can sleep there that they're like, yeah, man, you've been so vetted that, you know, our house is your house. I mean, have at it, gay. That would be crazy. God.
Yeah, man. I just want to know the rules and regulations behind staying at the White House. I mean, another one. I mean, let's say you want a pizza delivered to the White House. Is that even possible that the guy drops it off at the gate? Or do they got to inspect that? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, are they like, listen, we can have him bring you the pizza, but it's going to be another half hour because we got to run a thing on him. Or we can just take the pizza from him and walk it into you. Right? I don't know. Now, but here's the thing. What if, like, your brother or your sister, if you're the president, and like, my brother's the president, and I'm staying there, and I come out of my room, and they're like, you can't roam. I'm like, hey. My brother is the president. If anything, I can get you out of the fucking hallway.
Well, if it was the president's house, I could understand. But he's really actually leasing it or not. Yeah, it's like a rental for 4 years.
Yeah, but I'm renting. When I'm renting, am I renting? I'm renting. If I'm renting, then you can't come in anytime you want, landlord. I'm renting.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just often wonder these things about a president. If he walks around and if he comes off Air Force One, does he have any cash on him? Like, I don't know. Think like, do you think he's got like a wallet?
I don't think so.
ID?
Well, I know. Like, I don't know, man. Like, does it? I'm sitting here trying to pretend I know, but I don't.
I got to get, if anybody out there is close in on the White House, if you just private message either Pete, Lou, Jimmy from Boston, or myself, and give us some insight on what goes on in that house.
I don't know all the answers, kid.
Yeah, I got this. What is this?
You got it too, Lou? You see that photo?
Yes.
Can you guys do a finger scroll in? Do a hard finger scroll in. This was in my presence 2 days ago. You see those, the white line?
Yeah.
See those little white, you know what those are?
No.
You buckle down, you guys, you're looking at George Washington's hair. Are you kidding me? Boom.
What?
Is that not insane? Strands of his hair. I was at a museum across the street from a hotel in Tulsa. Went there by myself. Couldn't believe it.
I'm no history buff, but didn't he wear a wig?
Nope, you're not a history buff. I am. Everyone else wore a wig. Instead, he grew his hair normal, but he patted it down with white powder all the time. And by the way, Lou, this is his hair when he was dying. It was gray by then. So.
Is this for sale?
No, it's in a museum, but I literally was in a glass case that I felt like I could have did a smash and grab. I wasn't in town doing the thing on the hair. Now, my question, which you would know more than me, is there any possibility if you were a billionaire that you could take that hair and bring it to the best scientists and they could use that hair for the process that you had done to try and bring that hair back to life, put it in your head so if hair starts growing in, you could tell people, bro, this is George Washington's fucking hair I got. Well, or is it dead?
Funny you ask. You cannot take another man's hair and put it in your head. It won't grow.
Even if you got Bill Gates money? They can't.
I don't know if they could. But they can't. From what I understand, I said, what if I want to do this several times and I don't have enough hair on the head to do this? He goes, you could pull it from anywhere on your body. The next would be the neck.
Yeah, we discussed that. Yeah,
yeah, but you cannot take somebody else's hair and make it your own. So my question is, would you rather have this in your house hanging over your fireplace?
George Washington's hair?
George Washington's hair, or in a see-through cube, Rocky sunglasses he used when Mickey died and they were doing that funeral, which I just saw that scene over the weekend. It's tremendous. Rocky sunglasses from Rocky III. Or George Washington's hair. What do you think is a bigger conversation piece?
Based on the reaction of you and Lou, probably Rocky's shades.
Yep, because I ain't feeling anything on this hair deal.
Well, that's not my problem. You didn't get properly educated out there in the suburbs of Chicago, because this should be moving you, man. This is a founding father. And by the way,
Lou, are you...
No way.
You know what I'm not moved by?
What?
It looks like Sadie'd made the frame. You know, like, it doesn't look like a proper frame. It looks like a kid's project that they're handing in a kindergarten.
I agree. And I was a little disappointed that it only made it to Tulsa. I would feel that's a Smithsonian item, but they apparently found it in the diary of his granddaughter, and it was very common back then when someone would die, you'd take a piece of their hair. By the way, if I plucked a piece of your hair at your wake, would you be cool with that?
Here we go to the wake.
Well, I'm just thinking.
Now, can you see, you're going up to the casket and all of a sudden you got like a little tweezers and what the hell are you doing? Nah, I'm just taking a piece of his hair.
Yeah. The original too, not the top part that was cloned.
I would think that we would arrange it like I would just send you in the like right now, send you just an envelope with a couple of strands in it.
No, I don't want it now. I want it. Maybe me and Lou will have a couple beers. We go up together. We pluck it. We laugh. I mean, it's a whole thing. And then when people look at us weird, we're like, nah, we talked about it. I might even give it away before I get out of the church, guy. What are you talking about? Get one now. Oh, by the way, if you told me Rocky's robe from the original Rocky when he went out all nervous to fight Mick and to fight Apollo and that might be a talking point. But I mean, Washington's hair, nothing. They also had General George Custer's underwear from that he wore in the Civil War.
I would have liked to seen that. What kind of underwear is that? Is that like, what is it? What does it look
show
like?
Them to you
got a picture?
Photo. Yeah. Yeah. They're like for warmth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, long underwear? Or are we talking like, I want to see like is it the Hanes of 1800s or?
Here we go. Coming your way right now. Worn, fighting in the Civil War. I mean, those underwear could talk.
Yeah, they're long johns.
Yeah. Yeah, they are long. Oh, yeah, they are long johns. I see they folded over.
But I don't know what it looks like a thong. Like the brown thing. What is that?
That's the inside. That's the beige interior.
Oh, okay. That's the inside.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Rocky's robe, what robe would you want to have? Is it the one where he wore the name of the meat company?
Yeah. And he was embarrassed.
And he's embarrassed because Paulie worked it out, right?
And he had the hood on and he was like, he really met. Yeah. Oh, he looks fake. What did he say? Something about the show?
Yeah. What did he say when Apollo came in? He goes, what did he say? If we could get the actual voice of Stallone going, he looks kind of happy or something. He said something. Is that the world
heavyweight champion? You know,
he looks like a big flag.
Is he talking to me?
He's talking to you.
Is he talking to me?
Let him talk when he can talk.
I want the stallion!
Yeah, man, I looked at that scene again. I know we bring this up on a periodic basis, but man, when he's doing the Jewish thing, when Mick dies, I really went back to look at the scene. He not only has the glasses and the black eye, but he has a little piece of white tape right underneath the rim of the glass, bro. God, it's beautiful.
What the hell is that there for?
I don't know. I don't know. It just looks traumatic.
Absolutely.
So, listen, I know we're wrapping up soon, but just got to ask you one more thing. I need your opinion on this, and I'll tell you what I did. But in the hotel, long story short, it's the day I was only there one night or whatever. Nicer hotel, W, actually. And I'm checking out the next morning, and toilet's clogged. All right? And, you know, I did what a man does in there, obviously. So I'll leave it at that. So I'm like, oh, man, I really don't want to make anybody have to plunge this, man. You know? So I call the front desk, and I go, I need a plunger up here. So they go, okay, we'll send one right up. Now I'm waiting a solid 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and here's the deal. I'm going to tell whoever comes, just wait out in the hallway. I'm going to do a quick plunge, and then I'll give it right back to you. There's no reason for you to have to do this. 20 minutes, still nobody. I got to go. So I leave, and I feel bad. Somebody's going to, boom, walk in. How you doing? So I go downstairs, and I go to the front desk, and I normally don't even check out because, you know, they just see you gone, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel terrible about this. So I go online, and as soon as I get online, there's one person in front of me, and then I figure that person will be gone. I'll tell this dude. Next thing you know, people start lining up behind me. So I got my pad and a little piece of paper, and I just write, first of all, my question to you is, would you have just left the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I go up, and I go, I'm out of 920. And he goes, thanks. And I go, listen. And I just hand him a little note, and it just says, toilet situation, won't flush. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, got it. And he like kind of half laughs, and he goes, got it. I go, and then I say out loud, I'm really sorry, man. I called, and no one came. And he goes, don't worry about it, sir. It's no problem at all. Have a great weekend. Really, don't worry about it. And I go, all right, bye. Now, I because there was people around, I didn't want to be like, fucking toilet's clogged, it's too embarrassing. So, well, I already got my answer. You would have just walked out. But do you think he thinks like I'm weird for that? Or a class move?
I don't know. I got to think he's looking at you like, something's wrong with this guy.
Well, I just said, hey, listen, man. I go, I just didn't want to. And I slide over, like, a toilet situation won't flush.
Listen, you got to understand, they probably walk in and there's a guy headless on the bed, you know, with his head off. I mean, what they see at a hotel, a toilet thing is nothing, right? They probably walk in and all the furniture's gone, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I couldn't get it out of my head, but you're right. I felt like after I did it, too, I was like, he was nice about it, but I was like, man, he's probably like, guy, just fucking don't even mention that shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, man, I got to go with that, man. You just kind of just slide out of there. They're not going to know. I got to put two and two together.
I should have made a little tent on the front desk and said, thank you. Slid him away and pointed.
Oh, there you have it. What a nice callback to end the show.
Fun show, dude.
Fun show. What do we got on the slate here in regards to shows?
Let's see. This weekend I got Bananas, and then February 22nd, Pittsburgh Club Cafe, and that's a little theater in Pittsburgh. And then March 30th, theater in Sellersville, PA, just outside of Philly, Sellersville, PA. Those are the ones I'm plugging hard. Come pcorielli.com to check them out. And, bro, my dad's neighbors, my dad called. He's like, you didn't tell us Sebastian was in Green Book. Our neighbors just saw it. They said he was fantastic. I still got a problem that not everyone, you don't get to go to the Oscars with that. That bothers me.
But we're trying. We're trying to get to the Oscars. It's nice. Not totally off the shelf just yet. But we're still trying to get there. If anything, I got to get there for the cast.
Oh, God. Be awesome.
February 7th, Thursday, Richmond, Virginia. February 8th and 9th, Oxon Hill, D.C. at the MGM National Harbor. Here's a show I really want to promote. It's one of these things that I wouldn't say was a goal of mine, but I've always wanted to perform here, and tickets just went on sale at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, a place that I've always admired, not only from afar, but had the pleasure of staying there many a times, and now I'm performing at the Encore Theater May 25th and 26th, the Memorial Day weekend. Tickets are on sale. Four shows. Get your tickets at SebastianLive.com. What a pleasure to know you two.
Hey, thanks, man. Same here.
It's been a fantastic run. We are going to continue this run deep into 2019 and beyond. Thanks for the listenership. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but it just
I don't know, Lou. You got that recorded, Lou?
Sure do.
I can put that in a glass case, guy.
Goodbye.
The show has ended.
She's offering you a ball. It's called sharing.